Hey, good Monday morning, everybody out there. You're listening to the Eric Haines Show right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. We had a great weekend, man. First off, a middle school team went and scrimmaged Alcoa. It was great. And then Catholic and Maryville played.
I heard that on Friday night.
Yeah. And it was awesome. Very good. Hayden Todd was really good. I mean, both teams very well coached. You could tell a lot of really good players on the team. Everyone knows my opinions on Tommy Winton. I don't need to get into that right now, but he was fantastic. And a lot of great players on Maryville's team, too. I just didn't know anything about them. That was the biggest thing. I knew all the Catholic kids, but the Maryville ones were really, really tough. Quarterback looked pretty dang good. A couple running backs, receivers. Anyway, it was a lot of fun to watch. And hang, we went to main event and dominated main event. Shout out to AJ out there. Yeah, he said, you better be on here saying how great we were. But I'm not allowed to do that, so I'm just saying I had a really fun time. At main event and
not a paid endorsement.
It was not. Every time we go there, I'm like, why did we come here? But the kids have an absolute blast. What else did we do, man? Hung out, watched some Olympics, swimming.
See, I can fully embrace that because when I was maybe 10 or 11, my dad asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I was like, here's what I want, Dad. I want $30. And just 2 hours at Aladdin's Castle at Easttown Mall. Because the one at Westtown Mall was tiny. There wasn't any...
So you know Ivins. Was Ivins there with you?
He was not at the time.
At the time?
He may have been, but I didn't know him.
Does he know it?
I didn't know that.
There's no... Dude, I doubt it.
When I was about 10, I asked my dad for $30 in quarters and 2 hours at Aladdin's Castle at Easttown Mall.
Absolutely. Across from the movies.
It was the best... Because the one at Westtown was tiny.
Oh, very crappy. Oh, yeah.
But the one at Easttown had like a whole back section.
Easttown was the arcade for the people.
So you ready for this? This is how you knew how big your arcade was. Could you hold a Dance Dance Revolution? If you're big enough to have the big Dance Dance game, you had big enough to do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah. So,
but have either of you ever like actually tried to do that as hard? Like, I mean, like
absolutely not.
When they opened the Funscape. So Eric, I got to tell you about Funscape.
Rest
in peace. Okay, you know the theater at Westtown.
Yeah.
Okay, you know how the lobby is like 20 times bigger than it should be?
Yeah.
Okay, that used to be a place called Funscape.
Oh.
They had bumper cars.
Oh.
They had four different arcades.
And they downgraded to have the little arcade.
Right.
They had a secret room in the side, too, with the stuff that you'd see in Hollywood. They had a ball pit, a 3D theater, and it was amazing.
Just look up. And you'll see what looks like to be little cutouts little balconies that you should be able to look over.
There was stuff up there. Man. And it was great. And it was like Regal's new concept that they were going to put in malls everywhere. And then
the world changed again. And then
it was real successful here for a minute. And then they closed it. And it was so Funscape opened. And so then if your church youth group did anything, you went to Funscape.
Game changer.
Oh, man.
Because Celebration Station kind of went off the...
I was always old here, but when they had the... I used to live at an apartment complex right... Dean Hill, maybe something. Yeah. Like right across from the Food City.
Yeah.
It's where they put me up here while I was looking to buy a house.
Yes, okay. Yeah. So...
Fully furnished apartment.
Nice, really nice place. It was great. Yeah, we destroyed it. We were in college. And we would partake in... certain beverages that I no longer am allowed to have anymore.
Right.
Probably because of stuff like this.
What's wrong with Diet Coke?
There's nothing wrong with Diet Coke. I just have to have the regular. You know what I'm saying? And so
as Brian sucks out a 20-ouncer.
We would go to the arcade and we would be semi-sauced and play games. And then all the moms, my gosh, the Westtown Mall moms, like the dads like had to come quick. They were like, we were like, all right, listen, we're 20. Like, stop hitting on us. You have children here.
But we're just
going to play. We'd play video games with the kids. It was like the best. Like, there were no pictures.
Just playing crazy taxi and a mom walks up. No. So, like, what are you
what's
doing?
Up?
Like, yeah, well,
what's
trying
up?
To get, like, trying to drop this customer off before like, well, I run out of time.
I just spent my last $5 on this game I'm playing with your kid. Why don't you re-quarter us up? Nice.
He hit the side on the quarterback challenge and somebody goes, that's why we didn't win a championship.
Yeah, the dad comes in. He's like, that's who you're hitting on? He can't even make the throw. And here's 20 more bucks. Cuz Knoxville.
Boys, even when we're mad at you. Well,
apparently we're going to have a weird show. That's
even
sure.
when we're mad at you.
Oh, Brian's already halfway down with his 20-ounce Diet Coke.
There's another one in the fridge downstairs just in case.
Hey, boys, 1 month from today, Tennessee Bowling Green. Have some, yeah?
Not a big deal.
31 days. Football time in Tennessee. Yeah,
I'm going to kick all the kids' butts at Sports Fest in the quarterback toss.
I like that.
I'm not letting anybody win. Nobody.
On that note, that's Saturday. We take a look at the game plan.
That doesn't need to be in the universe.
That'd be hilarious.
It was.
It wasn't even bad. What you said wasn't even bad. It was just like, yeah, that was a decision. It probably wasn't.
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
Tennessee had two players retire from football on Friday.
Yeah, I saw this.
Austin Pope, Riley Locklear. Austin Pope, probably the right decision.
Austin Pope wants to play football so bad that he keeps trying, and his body just, like, I feel bad for him, dude, because he's one of the toughest. I had more respect for him than maybe anybody in this era for being a wide receiver in high school that they called a tight end. He never put his hand in the dirt. And then he gets here and he's a tight end. And before long, they got him playing dot I fullback. A wide receiver in high school at CAK to playing fullback. And his body just didn't, I mean, it sucks, man. I've been there. Everybody reaches that point where their body just stops. I hate that his had to happen while he was in college, but he is a sixth-year guy because he's been hurt so much. Anyway, we love you, Austin.
The Mets, Tyler Ivins, New York Mets, will not sign Kumar Rocker. Apparently, as was reported yesterday, they didn't even present him with a contract offer because there are questions about his elbow. His agent says he's fine. His agent, Scott Boras, says he's been evaluated by multiple orthopedists who are not team affiliated.
So his career can't be done. Who's he get to go play for?
He is going to apparently play independent ball or somewhere outside of the country until he can re-enter the draft next year.
So he can go next year.
He re-enters the draft next year.
If he has any problems, because I get Scott Boras, but no, it's fine. Everything's fine. Maybe it's not, but whatever is actually there from a third-party doctor, surgeon, the best in the world. Scott Boras should have access to the best in the world.
Yeah.
Figure it out and rehab it and maybe play a little bit, maybe don't, and go get drafted again next year.
They say there's nothing wrong. The Mets disagree and wouldn't sign him.
The Mets are idiots.
The Mets have not had
a great
week.
They're not as dumb as the Cubs, but both of them are dumb.
At least the Cubs got something in return for all those guys. They're trying to rebuild for the future again. The Mets, in the past week, got rid of all their top prospects to sign guys or to trade for guys who they have control over for the next year or maybe two. Then they didn't sign their first round pick this year. As a Braves fan, I'm going, all right,
sounds good.
Tee all of this
keep,
up for us.
Whoever's in charge there, let's keep that rolling, huh?
The best news for Tennessee, though, is Kumar Rocker will not go back to Vanderbilt. Scott Boras said he's going to begin his professional career. So we can all do a little celebration.
I'm not like a huge, huge baseball guy. I don't ever remember hearing this before.
It's happened.
Is it happened? Yeah. I mean, are they mad about the pick? Is that what it is? Like, could that be part of it? Like, they just don't think he's that good, even though they drafted him a month ago?
I don't know what their deal is.
They
claim it's all over this potential injury and he says he's fine. And there's more to the story somewhere, or the Mets are incompetent.
It's
one or the other.
I can't tell you how often in the world I used to think this thing. I used to have this theory that, like, people that get paid way more money than I do to be right in stuff like this, they know what they're talking about. Well, then I kept watching the CNN and Fox News and watching all the politics, and that's not true. And then I watch all these pro teams that just dishevel and ruin their franchises, and you watch these college teams that fire people after a year or after three and like pay money. Like, almost more people screw up than do it right.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
I don't know. I don't know who to believe on that, but I have a hard time thinking that Rocker is hurt enough that they didn't know that.
Quarterbacks in the NFL, it's been a rough weekend for him. We'll tell you more about that. Tennessee has his first commitment in the 2023 class, and his nickname is White Lightning.
And big fan.
You currently can't do name, image, and likeness deals with alcohol companies. If that changes, this kid's ready to go.
I mean,
Especially in Tennessee,
just make a little superhero t-shirt.
I don't hate that. Training camp for Tennessee starts on Wednesday.
No power T on it, though.
No, that's right. What is the biggest offensive story outside of the quarterbacks?
I mean, right, you have to say that. No, and we've been saying what you said when you were talking with Tyler and Kaner is for sure the truth. It's not even who's the guy. It's how fast can they figure out who the guy is.
Yeah. Am I wrong that I think it's between Bailey and Milton
now? No, that's who I think it is between. If it's not one of those guys, that's really bad. because they've watched all these guys practice and felt the need to go get somebody else.
Yeah.
And Bailey's the guy that is the youngest who did show some poise. You can actually go flip on his film from last year in a chaotic, terrible year where you're not winning and no one's playing. You know, you got a few guys playing hard. You got
and
Kate
he
and
didn't
Cooper
participate
and
in training camp and a bunch of practices, and he still, at the end of the year, goes out and does some things
okay,
that you like.
Yeah, he does okay. What's the biggest thing Harrison Bailey did wrong? He held the ball. Why do you hold the ball? You don't know where to throw it.
Yeah.
It's really simple. It's natural. There's a giant person running at me. If I can know where to throw it, he can't touch me.
Yeah.
If I don't, I'm getting blasted.
And
he got blasted a lot. He even did a good job throwing them away sometimes. But regardless, yeah, biggest question. That'll be a fun one to talk about.
All right. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, that'll be the 10 o'clock hour. In the 11 o'clock hour, okay, same question. Defensive side of the ball. This one may be
Kumar's Diddy. Got to get it done.
This one may be as obvious as the quarterback side.
Well,
but we'll see.
It may be, but I don't know that we have an answer
to do it. There are a couple of big holes on the defense that they've got to figure out pretty quick. Chris Paul and Kawhi Leonard have both opted out of contracts that would have paid them $38 million and $42 million.
Whoa.
Kawhi Leonard, I get. Chris Paul, after watching the finals, he looks very old that I would not pay him $40-something million.
There's no way I would.
And the Buffalo Bills have threatened to move to Austin, Texas. That's a thing that happened over the weekend.
What?
Yeah. All that and more coming up today on the Eric Ains Show. That's the game plan. It's laid out for you every day by 40 seconds.
We don't have
Street.
Enough hour. We have 13 hours of local sports talk, and I swear sometimes it's not enough.
Yeah.
42ST.com. If you are looking for someone to help you with your company, then look no further than my buddy Mike Carlton. Works out there downtown Maryville, really cool building, got the exposed brick and everything. You walk in there and you can see all the stuff that they do, and they have like a little highlight reel of things they've done for people. 100+ five-star Google reviews for Mike at 42nd Street. That could be you just getting those reviews or letting him help you get those reviews. Equals real customers, real growth. 42ST.com.
The Eric Ains Show rolls on next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Welcome back into the Eric Ains Show. Brian Rice, myself, EA, right here in the Budweiser Studios. Tomorrow we're going to be out at Food City, though. That'll be fun.
Yeah, the new one at the corner of Western and Shod Road. So,
value every day, the Eric Ains Show.
Food City.
Food City for sure. Like, we're like most days. Value most days. EA Show.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Maybe I'll add that to my needs to be recorded list.
Value every day, though. Food City.
Yeah, every day. Yeah, yes, Food City every day. Us.
You know what the best part is going to be tomorrow?
What?
We're going to be there in time for me to go inside and get the Food City breakfast without having to get up early and stop.
Nice. That's cool.
Bacon and eggs.
Bacon and eggs.
Every day, every location.
Give me all the bacon and eggs.
Tennessee, yeah. Not. I feel like you all. Said give me a lot of bacon and eggs.
All.
Give me all the bacon and eggs that you have. Yep. Austin Pope, Riley Locklear retired from Tennessee football over the weekend.
I think that's smart, man. This is like, I don't... This decision is so hard for people. So, like, when I decided I was done playing football, I had other problems that I had developed in large part because of how hurt and how badly I was hurt all the time. But even then, I still the New York Jets still wanted me to come back after my third stint in the Cool Kids Club and coming back and trying and all that stuff. But my body, I was like the... I was in Boston, and the Celtics surgeon, Danny's head orthopedic surgeon for the Celtics, did basically like an entire body evaluation scan, everything. And he was like, well, you have three tears in your rotator cuff. We need to put two screws in each of your feet to fuse the stress fractures. And I stopped him, and I was like, don't even say anything else. I was like, I'm not doing all that. There's no way. I'm just going to have to be done. I'll do something else. Like, that is not an easy thing to come to terms with. I mean, gosh, we see it all the time with guys playing pro sports way too long. They're so good they can't stop. But like Austin Pope and Riley Locklear, those guys have been hurt a lot, man. They played some football, great experience. I feel like they both have good brands if they want to get out and go, you know, enter the working world, whatever it is that they want to go do. They'll have opportunities to do that. I kind of knew Austin Pope was done when I went and watched him spring practice a couple times. And I just talked to him, and he just sounded different. He was just, it was just like he wasn't not going to try it, but like you could tell there was like a lot of frustration. I can't imagine that. I would have been devastated. I mean, heck, I played with my hand almost, my finger almost broken half off of my hand because I wanted to play so bad. I cannot imagine, as soon as it's neck spine stuff, man, especially anymore, and that's how it should be. I mean, you go play football for Tennessee for a little bit longer. What are you risking?
Yeah.
Because like at that point, you're going, okay, like, no, I'm not going to be nearly as good as I want to be. Do I want to go play okay football? Most guys would say no, but I'm still going to do it if they want me in the game. But then you look at it and you're like, am I going to play okay football for the chance to have something catastrophic happen? And I know not every time you have spine or neck problems. Like when Peyton had his fused and then it was done, it was done. It was like when you break a leg and you put the pins and the plate in it, it's all good. It's just, you're not going to break that part of your leg again. But with spine stuff, man, I mean, I know it's 2021. We still don't know a lot about how and why things happen like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't blame them for not playing.
Yeah. It's and I think both guys will have an opportunity to be really good for the community, and I don't think either will have any trouble finding employment because they're both smart guys have
they can do whatever
former Vol on their resume.
So, yeah, I was joking with a friend of mine the other day. He was like, what does your resume look like? And I was like, but he was like, what? And I was like, I've literally never had one.
Yeah.
Not ever. But like it, those guys will be fine. You know, one thing I want to see from this.
Yeah.
Excuse me. When the players have these I'm going to call them emotional losses. Like I'm retiring from football. Remember Chance Hall, right? Got, you know, Austin Pope, Riley Locklear. I mean, how many guys have we had here in the last forever that just don't, they don't want to keep playing the game, but that's not because they don't love it. There needs to be a, I mean, obviously I think every single team in America needs to have way more psychologists and psychiatrists and people involved in their mental health anyway. But like, if you're on a team and something happens, and you go to said team and you say, hi, I'm Austin Pope. This would be my sixth year, but I can't do it. I'm going to be done. I'm going to retire from football. You should immediately get put into a program where you talk about that with somebody who's a professional that understands where you're at and can help potentially at times prevent people from being depressed or going down a bad road or anything. They should, all of these guys should have access to that. They do it in the NFL. In the NFL, even you still have to like ask for one, or you have to be in a program due to your actions that gets you in front of those people. But, and I don't even know if they have that at UT. I'm sure they do. I'm sure they have access to something, but they don't ever talk about it. I know the kickers used to have it. I know James Wilhoit used to talk about it. Kickers have had, you know, but that's more of like a sports psychologist. I'm talking like a doctor who can look at a kid who's coming off three concussions in a year and say, Brian Maurer, let's talk to me. How you feeling, buddy? What's up? What's going on? How you sleeping? How's your class? How's your this? They need more of that kind of stuff. I don't want to turn it into a mental health thing, because then the Simone Biles thing comes up and then everyone gets angry. Like, it seems like there's nothing that's not angry about it anymore. But like,
you know, you know who I didn't see criticize Simone Biles?
Who?
Anybody who achieved anything at a high level in professional sports.
Yes.
Every high-achieving former pro sports athlete, with maybe one or two exceptions, was in total support of her and what she did, both because it also it allowed her team to actually win a medal, which it wouldn't have if she had tried to continue and failed. And
that's the big thing. Also, her thing worked. It worked.
Yeah. She didn't cost her team the gold medal. She
already has 27 medals, dude.
She didn't cost her team the gold medal by bowing out when she knew she couldn't do it. She allowed somebody else to take her place. They didn't have to deal with her low score.
If you know you're going to strike out and you got someone on the bench that you think can hit a dinger, you go, even if everyone's like, why would you strike out? I don't know. I'm telling you,
I do not have it today.
I'm not hitting it right now.
I don't have it today.
I'm not seeing it. It's not coming.
But yeah, that's what, and I was off the day after it happened, but
God, that's so hard to do. I could have never done that. That's why I respect her. I never could have done that.
Yeah.
Even, but, dude, I didn't know I could throw the ball until game day against Cal as a senior. Did not even have a clue. Yeah. And there was no way I was letting anybody else play. That's toughness, I guess, in a way. But we also lost. I mean, I went out and have a good year, but I'm just saying, like,
also, pulling, if you throw the football to the wrong guy, there's not a chance that you're going to break your neck.
That's true.
And I talked to the way
that guy hit me, I broke my back in that one.
Somebody who used to do gymnastics at a very high level and said, you know, if you're a little, if you feel like you're mentally not into it and you try to do what she did, you're going to end up paralyzed. Yeah. So, but yeah, I think in supporting guys when they make a decision to come to Tennessee and to play, when guys finally get to the point where they have, to use the cliche, have given their all for Tennessee and don't have anything left to give, I think we need to celebrate and support them just as much on that day as the day that they agree to come.
Agreed.
So, congratulations 100%. To those two guys.
And they should have access to the best medical and mental health treatment that anybody wants.
Yeah.
They're probably fine, but make sure. Hmm. Why not?
When Senior Day comes around this year, I would not be opposed to both of them coming out and running through the T one more time.
Me either.
On their own.
Absolutely not.
Josh Heupel, everybody over there, maybe put them in a jersey and let them run through the T on Senior Day.
Neither of those guys are retiring from football because they just don't like football.
Right.
They just can't play it anymore. And that happens, dude.
Both were very complimentary towards this new staff as well. I think a great gesture would be allow them to do Senior Day.
If they want to. Maybe they don't. Maybe that's not their jam. Who knows?
Yeah.
But yeah.
If they want to, reach out. All right, we'll come back. 656-9900 if you want to join us. We're going to clean up a couple pro sports things when we come back. And then
clean it up.
Deep dive into Tennessee football coming up in the 10 o'clock hour on the Eric Ains Show on the Sports Animal.
All right, we're back. It's the Eric Ains Show. We're brought to you by Food City, the official supermarket of the Tennessee Volunteers. Don't forget, guys, Sports Fest is this Saturday. Looking forward to it. Going to be a lot of fun people there and hopefully a lot of people there to hang out. And
if you want to go for free, come see Eric and I tomorrow at Food City.
Yeah. Because we're going to have the tickets.
I have a bunch of tickets that we need to give away.
Tickets. Come on, it'll be fun.
You can also get them at sportsfest.com.
I don't care how good your kid is at throwing the football. He's only beating me at the quarterback toss if he's good enough to beat me at the quarterback toss. America.
We're not letting...
I don't care.
We're not letting kids win.
You're six? You're eight? Okay. Do you like football? Yeah. All right. So you got to throw it through that hole.
Got to learn about the real rule.
I'll make my throw a little harder. Mm-hmm. Not just going to play the six-year-old straight up. I'm not going to do that. But I'm not going to let them win. That way, if they win, they actually know. And if they beat me, I'll write their name down and I'll give them a shout-out.
Fair. The Colts seem to have a problem at quarterback. Traded Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is hurt. And maybe out for a while.
Carson Wentz. Okay, hot take. Is he in the league 5 years from now? Former first rounder. It's hard to get out of the league. People take you and take you and take you and take you and take you over and over and over again.
If he could be successful in Indianapolis, then he could be. But he has a foot injury. And when you have a foot injury at the start of training camp, your season is... They're going to rest it and do rehab for the next few days instead of having surgery.
So,
if all goes well, according to Pro Football Talk, quote, he could be able to play in the season opener, unquote. Okay.
If he can and he can play well, then he's got a shot. But Carson Wentz he's a way better athlete than people think. Like Carson Wentz is a fantastic, like Carson Wentz, if he was in a Major League Baseball player, could be a shortstop, a center fielder, and he's that athletic. However, throwing the ball when you have a foot problem is not easy. And I don't think Carson Wentz is good enough to be like hobbled back there and still just be dropping dimes all over the place. Him getting out of the pocket and moving and running and all that kind of stuff is very much a part of his game. So I don't know, man. That's not good news. But they're not going to beat the Titans anyway. The Texans are a freaking train wreck. Who's the other team? Jags with a rookie quarterback
and a rookie coach.
You know that
the Titans are waltzing to the division if Carson Wentz can't play.
Yeah, well, and I don't think even if Carson Wentz plays, I think the Titans will wear him out because they got Waffle House over there. He's always open. Those did you see that?
Yeah,
like the best cleats ever.
He wore those in training camp last year down in Atlanta too.
I didn't know that, but that's hysterical.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I. Yeah, the Titans, I know we're talking about the Colts, but really, if you go division-wide, they have, it's their division to lose, which I know as a football fan, I don't care who your team is, when it's that, you get nervous, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you're a Titans fan and you're hearing us talk about how it's theirs to lose and how the Jags have a really good offensive coordinator, but a rookie quarterback and
because
a rookie head coach.
So many Titans fans are also Tennessee Volunteers fans. The concept that you're going to be favored to have some success causes you nervousness, at least, if not pain.
1,000,000%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's emotional trauma in there. I mean, that's what we do sometimes, Brian. We open this up during the season. It's turned into Feelings Fridays.
Yep.
Where you at? Think we can get it? No? Yep. Are you mad you don't think we can get it? I'm so angry. But I can't force myself to feel any certain way. But the Jags could be, I don't know, man. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a good pro. Brian Schottenheimer is as good as anybody I've seen in football with getting young people to play well. So, I remember he led Mark Sanchez to back-to-back AFC championship games.
Yeah.
As a rookie and a second-year player. So, it is possible for the Jags to make noise, and they're very athletic defensively, but I don't know. It's still the Titans to lose, for sure. Carson Wentz, that's going to suck because he's going to have that ailing him all year long.
Let me ask you this. You're going back and forth on whether to rehab something or have surgery on something. At this point in the year, do you not have surgery on it and roll? Because
My frustration would be, when did he develop the foot injury? Because if he had the foot injury in OTAs and you didn't fix it, you're an idiot. You can find anybody to play for 4 weeks. In the NFL, you get, 17 games?
They say that he suffered the foot injury on the first day of camp.
Okay. Well, if that's true, then I don't even, what kind of foot injury can you have that is that borderline on
that's
do you need to
going to get better or it's not?
If it's that new, then they're probably doing the right thing in shutting him down. You shut him down, you just rehab it like crazy. You take the anti-inflammatories and the stuff, and you do the thing that they tell you to do, and you get back out there. The frustrating part to that. Well, the good news from that is, by the way, everybody else they have on the roster is going to be taking the reps. So
the problem is who else is on the roster.
Exactly, right? I mean, it's like, hey, great, they got all the reps, but
yeah,
they got the reps. So, I mean, if you're the backup quarterback, it's good that you got all the reps, but you're not going to have a lot of success throwing the ball in the National Football League. So the Colts probably won't be very good.
The other,
I don't believe, Carson Wentz too, real quick. How much crap does he have to go through before it really starts affecting him emotionally? See, I think he already is kind of a head case. I think he was leaving Philly. That was obvious. So now he's not, because he's a starter, and now he's hurt again. Now he can't play. Like, at some point, even if he can get back, like, what's he going to look like?
The other quarterbacks on the roster for the Colts: Jacob Eason.
Okay. Rook.
Second year,
yeah.
And rookie Sam Ellinger.
No. So
they have signed, as of yesterday, former Packers backup Brett Hundley.
Yeah, they're trying to find someone who's taking snaps.
You talk about a team that's screwed but, I'll their tell you starter
what, though,
can't play.
I'll tell you what, though. Eason's not that great to me at all, really. But it's his second year in the league, and he at least has a cannon. So could you maybe have some success every once in a while? Maybe. The Colts, they're already looking
bad for the Colts.
Yeah,
right now.
I'm like talking myself into it too. They're going to be terrible.
Like, I'm sorry.
They're all of their eggs. We're having this whole conversation about what are they going to do if
your eggs are in the
Carson Wentz can't basket. Play. Yeah. Well, yikes! Yeah. How are you going to be if he does? So, I don't know. That's not great.
A couple other NFL notes and Kumar Rocker discussion. We will return at Tennessee football training camp. It's coming on Wednesday. We talk about that coming up in the 10 o'clock hour as well as the Eric Haines Show continues next. Welcome back into the EA Show, 99.1 The Sports Animal. Trying to put a bow on hour number one here. Interesting notes from the weekend in Major League Baseball. The New York Mets did not sign Kumar Rocker. They went back and forth with his agent, but according to published reports, ultimately never presented a firm contract offer to Rocker and his agent, Scott Boras. There was a disagreement over his elbow, and he did not agree to the MRI examination before the draft that some top prospects did. He had his own evaluation from his agent, and the Mets did their own evaluation, and they seem to have not been able to come to a consensus on how healthy his arm was. Scott Boras, his agent, says that there's nothing wrong with his arm, and he's now going to look forward to other opportunities to pursue the start of his professional career before reentering the draft next year. By not signing him, the Mets will get a compensatory pick in next year's draft at 11th overall, but still, it could potentially set that franchise back a little bit, as the Mets, a team that just traded away some top prospects to try to bolster their roster for the end of this season and a postseason run this year. So Kumar Rocker not going to the Mets. I don't want to be too critical of a team trying to look out for its interests, but also, Eric, when you look at investing the money or not investing the money, I don't think the Mets are in any better position by having the money left over and not having their first-round pick in their camp this year. Even if you don't think he's going to pitch this year, even if you want to get him in your program and say, we're not going to pitch you the rest of this year because we want to make sure this is healthy, you still want him in because he's still a tremendous talent, right?
I mean, I would think so. That's why I don't understand. I don't understand the, you drafted him. Like, so people know, if you do it right, you have been poked and prodded and tested for literally every single thing you can possibly be tested for. Now, if you come out of a program like Vanderbilt or a big time football or whatever it is, you've already done that.
A million times.
So you already know. It is so, especially, gosh, with everything going on with like COVID and everything, there is no autoimmune disorder that you develop that they don't know about or that right. you don't already have, or there is some other weird thing, one in a million, and you have this. They know. So they knew what they were drafting. And then they draft him, and then they act like they don't know. So like part of me goes, okay, well, if there was something and you didn't know, that's negligence on your draft people.
Yeah.
On your franchise and how you go evaluate talent to spend a first, you only get one of them
every year.
And you picked this one and then you say, oh wait, there's some stuff going on. Like, no, if I'm Kumar Rocker, I'm going, whatever was going on with me was going on with me. If it was, and there might be something. I mean, honestly, he didn't play good down the stretch last year.
He didn't. He had struggles down the stretch.
He struggled. And so it wouldn't shock me.
I wouldn't even say he struggled. He wasn't him.
He wasn't
the unbelievable standards that he's
pitching with strikeouts every inning. Yeah. I mean, so he didn't look like that. Is that maybe because there's something going on? There absolutely could have been. But you knew that. You watched him pitch down the stretch. You thought what everyone thought, which is he just tired or something going on? Or did the other team just have his number? I mean, that is possible. Even in
baseball. I think there was some of that, too, because you're talking about SEC teams that now, I mean, I can talk about it from a softball standpoint. Pitchers in college softball sometimes get more dominant over their careers, but most of the time, they don't look as dominant because you watch every pitch they throw
forever.
On film.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's been the number one at Vandy for 3 years.
You know what his out pitch is. You know what his, I mean, you know everything about it.
Well, and then you get a little worn down, or God forbid, you get a little something, anything going on, and then that's all it takes. That is the difference in striking guys out and giving up a couple dingers that gets you taken out of the game. It is that little tiny, well, it's just not quite what I'm used to. Like, if you throw 94, 95, and you're hitting 93, 94, that is all it takes.
Yeah.
So... But again, the Mets should have known that. Every sports talk show and ESPN and everything talked about it. It was the topic during their Vandy broadcast. He's not the number one right now. He's the number two.
Mm-hmm.
He's still really good. He's been a first-round pick since his freshman year, right? I mean, we all can. Yeah,
so for sure.
I'm putting that on the Mets. If there was something going on, you should have known.
There is either... something more than has been put out wrong with him.
Yeah.
Or the Mets are idiots. Those are the only two outcomes. Yeah.
And if you don't, and more often than not, if you're willing to go this route, then the Mets are willing to be honest about what it is. If it's really just a shoulder or an elbow and they didn't know, they are idiots. That is the answer. It's hard. You don't, like, you know, sometimes you take hacks if you're up there hitting and you're in a slump. You just swing your way out of it.
Yeah.
You can't pitch your way out of an elbow problem.
That is for sure.
You can't pitch your way out of a shoulder problem. You can rest it. You can fix it. You can rest it and fix it. You can whatever. But, you know, that we see it happen all the time with guys in this year alone. I forget the names. There's four or five guys that are aces in Major League Baseball that aren't pitching. They're just not. They're not pitching anymore. I don't know that they're being cut on, but they're not out there pitching.
Yeah.
You know, and if something's got wrong, you know, they always in baseball, it's like, you know, football, they say, oh, you're, you know, questionable or doubtful, but like you have a broken leg, right? Like it's snapped in half and you're doubtful. Like clearly you're not playing, you know, and in the Major League Baseball, they put you on the, you know, 14-day IR.
Yeah.
They put
it's now you the on injured list. Injured you can't list. Call it the disabled yeah. list anymore.
So they put you on the injured list and you go out there and you have no idea what it's for. And that's very possible that he got there and he was warming up and he was throwing the same way he was throwing at the end of the year. Maybe there is something, but like not wanting him because of that, just throwing this out there, I don't think he's ever had Tommy John's or a shoulder surgery or anything. He doesn't. Okay. When you fix a pitcher's throwing arm for something that's not the end of the world, which I doubt what he's got is, oftentimes they come back better. They are tighter.
Well, and that's why
they're
harder. If you're not comfortable with what you see on that MRI, shut him, sign him, shut him down for the rest of the year.
He's never been cut on before.
All right, if you don't pitch the rest of the year, we can probably rehab out whatever's wrong with you.
Yes.
And if we can't, do we do some preemptive surgery? What do? We can all get together on this.
I hope they let him go back to the draft. I hope he gets cut on or doesn't, whatever, rehabs, whatever. I hope he's 95, 96 Kumar Rocker with the best, some of the best other stuff in the game for his age. And then I hope the Mets get him. They've been screwing everything up too. Maybe they can figure it out. Maybe they can get him and then you can go strike a bunch of. The Cubs can get him.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Mets is where he just
went.
Yeah.
Give me the Cubs. The whole thing is weird, dude.
It is. Coming up at hour number two of the Eric Gaines Show, we talk Tennessee football. Camp starts Wednesday. Biggest story on the offense, other than quarterback. We'll dive into quarterbacks later this week. That's coming up. It's the Eric Gaines Show on the Sports Animal.